All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Before we dive into today's episode, I want to thank you for tuning in and supporting the brand. Over the last few years, I spent a lot of time starting Farmer Grade. We offer meat that you and your family can trust by strictly sourcing our cuts from farmers who share their story online through social media. We provide high-quality beef and pork that is 100% born, raised, and harvested in the United States. Our Black Friday sale will be starting November 20th, next Monday. We'll be offering discounts on all products ranging from bacon to ribeyes and buy one, get one opportunities. So if you want to support the content we make and the message we share online, I would appreciate it if you went over to farmergrade.com and sign up for our email list to get informed on new product launches, special offers, and much more. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. Now let's get into the show. Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Barn Talk Hot Topics episode. We're going to be talking about Israel. We're going to be talking about China. We're going to be talking about AI. And we're also going to be talking about some Thanksgiving stuff because Thanksgiving's coming up and you'll probably hear this the week of Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving. So I don't know. Our editor was down and out for the count for a little bit. She got sick, so we had to try our best to keep up with the schedule. But she's feeling a little bit better now, so I'm confident she'll get it all done. Shout out to you, Kat, my lovely girlfriend. But before we get into it, you guys know the drill. Pay the fee. If you get any value from the show, share it out with who you know. The more that you guys do that, the more the show grows, the more we can get better guests on for better content, and the more podcasts we can make. So that helps us out tremendously. Thank you to all that have been doing that. You can also feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We are still doing the raffle. So anybody that submits proof to barntalkshow@gmail.com that they left a review on Spotify or Apple, we're putting your name in a raffle for you to get a free 10 to 12 pound pork box here from our farm, from Farmer Grade. And thank you to all that have been doing that. We're going to announce the winner of that next week on the show. So be looking out for that if you did submit a review.
It's your Thanksgiving treat.
It's your Thanksgiving treat. Right on. So we'll be doing that. We'll be sending that out. And also, we do Q&A episodes here on Barn Talk. So if you have any questions for us that you want us to answer on the show, you can also submit them to barntalkshow@gmail.com as well. So that's all I got. Dad's got a hot and fresh market update.
Yes, indeed. The market update, courtesy of Cat's Grain, Washington, Iowa. Shout out to those guys. Good people there at Cat's Grain. Corn today, 478. And locally, 476. And in Cedar Rapids, I should stop bagging on Cargill and Cedar Rapids. But let's face it, if you've got anything to do, you don't want to haul corn in Cedar Rapids because you're going to be there a while. But they got 491. So if you got nothing but time, head on up there. Beans, 1389. And that's January. Burlington, 1376. Or cross the river, $14. Hogs, $71.50. So they've come up a little bit. They still got a long ways to go before the green ink starts rolling. Cattle, $177. Feeder cattle, $229. Crude oil, $76.50. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Middle East. And apparently the oil market has decided that the Middle East is not going to implode because it hasn't been just but a week or so ago and oil was in the high 80s, I think, and it's dropped back down to 76.50. So they must think that, well, it's just going to muddle along. So Bitcoin, 37,000. Tesla, 244. Gold is $1,964. Kind of the same deal. Gold topped out just shy of, I think, $2,000. It might have gotten over sometime when I didn't check it. I don't check it as faithfully as I should, seeing how the only gold I have are in the fillings in my teeth. So don't keep up on it. Silver, $21.49.
You got fillings?
Yeah, they're not gold, though.
I didn't know.
It's from my Mountain Dew.
You got cavities.
Mouth. I used to. I did. Back in my 20s, I had cavities in my bottom back teeth. Your mother wasn't very proud of me because I drank too much Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that cup that we got you for that 1 year on Christmas, we got Dad a cup that was a free fill-up cup at Come and Go, and you could get a fountain drink every time you went in there.
Yeah,
you for bought, free. You bought the cup once, yep. And you had a whole year to fill up that cup as many times as you want. And we knew you were on the road, and we bought you that, and that was probably one of the best. We felt like it was a good
it
gift
because
you
gift.
Loved Mountain Dew at that time.
It was a great gift. It was a gift that kept on taking. Yeah. Just ruined my teeth.
Yeah, we probably took some years off your life there. But
now the only time I treat myself to a Mountain Dew is if I go to the movie theater because they're sadly. I know I shouldn't, but there's nothing better than a big fountain mountain with lots of ice, box of dots, and some overly buttered popcorn.
Yeah, you are a dots guy. I think that's pretty unpopular, you know?
I
don't know. Maybe it isn't because they keep selling them.
I don't know, but sometimes when I go to a movie theater and order a box of dots...
People just look at you funny?
They're not very soft. I feel like they've been there
they've been
for a
on
long
the
time.
Shelf for too long.
And it's dark, so yeah. It's not like you can see what the expiration date is on it. And let's face it, there's so many preservatives and colors in there. Those candies are probably like cockroaches. They'll be here after the apocalypse. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes they're a little tough.
They'll be like rotten beans. They can make it through everything.
Rotten beans, yes.
You'll have rotten beans left, and you'll have just that one pack of dots in the movie theater case that's... Yep. All the boxes are all melted, but those little gummies are still in there.
Cockroaches will be wearing them around like little crowns.
Yep, there you go. That's right. Yeah, I agree. Pop is, I only get pop Sprite. I'm a Sprite guy. I'm going to get it at the movie theater probably.
Yeah. And we don't go to the movie theater very much.
Well.
Not any good movies. Marvel, yeah. You can go see Marvel at the movie theater in Washington.
Yeah, when Marvel didn't go woke, it used to be nice to go and see one because everybody loved Marvel, but I haven't been to a Marvel movie in probably a couple years now because they've just, it's shit, so just
somebody
like everything
gonna
else.
Somebody Disney's going to have to get back to making money one of these days because...
yeah, it'll be a shame if Disney goes out of business.
They haven't been doing a very good job.
But they've kind of dropped the ball a little bit.
They have dropped the ball, but that is not the topic today. That is for another day.
It is.
Hopefully never, because it's not that interesting anyway. They just have done a really shitty job.
Updates on the farm. Might as well give them a few
absolutely.
Updates.
So it's this. We could have titled that. We could have titled today's episode "What's That Smell?"
Because yep, that's right. It's just torque.
Yes. Yeah. Not much different, but a little. It's a little more pungent than what I usually am.
I think you got a few more cavities that you haven't addressed yet.
Yeah, maybe that what that smell is.
Yep, could that's be. Right.
Could be. So done with harvest, and if you drive around the countryside in our neck of the woods, there'll be a lot of times that you won't. The weather's been fantastic. In fact, today is it 60? I feel like it's got to be.
I'm in my
60
t-shirt
degrees.
Right now, so.
So it's been great weather to get manure hauled, and we got all our pits empty. All four of them got hauled, and David just finished up today. And I think I was talking to Reed's pumped the manure that went to our neighbor's ground, and ours was their last job, so they're all done. David's
people
got
probably don't know who Reed's are.
Well, Reed Pumping, Cameron Reed, is a neighbor of mine and a poo hauler extraordinaire. So shout out to the Reed clan, and they do a great job. They got a couple of 9,500-gallon quad-axle tanks, and they got a slick setup. That is pretty cool. They've got a 4840 with a noon pump mounted on it, and they built the load stand onto the tractor, and the hose from the pipe from the chopper pump runs underneath the belly of the tractor. And then on the front end, it has a load stand, and it's got a hydraulic cylinder and a motor that it rotates the turret around, and then a cylinder that moves the spout. And so like when they move site to site, they don't have to pull that damn load stand around, and they drop the pump and they fire it up, and I mean they're ready to go. And so that's a slick deal. I think they kind of invented that themselves, but
so they do custom manure hauling for a ton of people. They're running a lot. I mean, he used to run way more than he does now.
Yeah, he's cut back.
Yeah,
But he's been doing it for a long time.
He's done it for a long time. He used to haul all our manure before we started draglining. And he raises a fair amount of hogs on his own. So, of course, he has his own stuff to do. But anyway, so they finished up and they're all done. David's got two or three more.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, we can't use all the manure that we produce here on our farm. So we tank some and give it away to some neighbors, and they pay for the cost of hauling. They'll pay Cameron for the cost of hauling, and then we just get rid of the manure because we got to get them empty. So that's kind of how that works. And then the other three, we drag line all that onto our own ground. So we just need to go get some more ground, it sounds like, so we can really utilize this awesome manure that we got.
This is going to be the last year, though.
I know.
This is going to be the last year for us using liquid manure. Fingers crossed. Shout out to the boys at LWE, Livestock, Water, and Energy. We are just crazy close to getting started on building the building that our manure separator system is going to go in. And when we're done, we're going to take the water out of that manure and we're going to be able to spread it dry. So that is a story for an entire podcast that we will share some other time.
You just dropped a little nugget there.
I know,
we've been holding that in our right here for us. We've been keeping that away from everybody, but Dad let it out of the bag, so we'll let you just sit on that. But it's coming soon. Updates coming soon on that.
Great, really interesting technology, and
we'll give you the lowdown once we get there.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was a good little intro there. So yeah, manure's pretty much all the way pumped, and I'm hoping that we can try to get David on the podcast once he's done doing all that he's got to do. So
we're trying to set up a Whistler Zeezer National Farm Equipment Show / bourbon crawl through
Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. We're going to try to make it work that we can all head down and spend a few days together down at that deal. But it is around Valentine's Day, and you young bucks, I told David that Trish and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary on the 13th. I have to give a big shout out to my wife, Trisha. She has put up with me for 30 years. She should have gotten a much better gift than what she did. I don't know really what it should be, but it's like a Medal of Honor or something, because she's put up with a lot. But anyway, I told David that, you know, at 30 years, we're pretty flexible on when we celebrate holidays, but you young bucks might be kind of tough to get out of that, because we'll have to leave. We'll be gone on Valentine's Day. So,
yeah, I have some thoughts on Valentine's Day, but we won't go into that right now. So it's coming up, though. Anyway, all right, first topic on the board is Israel, Middle East conflict, everything going down there. I mean, we've talked about it before once this all started, but it's still going down, and it seems like big media wants to keep trying to paint Israel as the monsters, and everything that they do to, you know, go in there and clean house, it seems like it gets reported on, and they're painted as the bad guy, and I don't really know. My two cents on this whole deal is I think this is one of those issues that the media is trying to make political and to divide Americans on. Like, this isn't really, to me, a huge American first problem unless we got to go put boots on the ground. And if we're going to give them a shitload of aid, Israel, with money and guns and all that. But as far as the conflict between them, I mean, I would much rather have probably Israel, our ally that's been our ally for a while, and win over a terrorist group. And then there's the innocent people that are dying on both sides of this that I feel terrible for, you know, like, obviously that's terrible. And I don't condone that on either side, but I don't really have that much, you know, passion in it. I'm not going to pick a side. Like, I feel like they're trying to make this another one of these, you're either one side or the other. And I'm just kind of in the middle, like, you know, whatever happens. And the other thing I'll say that I don't like about Hamas, and I know it's not, people aren't painting it Hamas versus Israel, they're painting it Palestine versus Israel, kind of. I mean, that's kind of what it's being. But at the end of the day, I think it's a terrorist group versus Israel. And Hamas What also makes is a concern is these terrorist cells that are forming in the United States. That also worries me a little bit. So, yeah, but anyway, I'm kind of there. That's my where I'm at. I'm not going to really pick a side.
I think the only reason that I wanted to touch on this was I've kind of been watching the news stories, and I thought it was really interesting when this all started. I was very surprised that Biden came out as strong as he did on Israel's side, and you've watched the media just absolutely try to paint Israel as just in the poorest light they possibly can. But I think what the reason I wanted to bring it up today was I will give Israel credit. I put in my notes that Israel is like the Dana White of countries. They just don't care. Like, they're not going to, all of the negative media in the world is not going to deter them from the mission that they have, that they're going to do. And they have decided that they are going to do whatever it takes to excavate every spot in Gaza that there is a Hamas fighter and remove them one way or another from that section of real estate. And the UN and the United States and whoever wants to jump up and down and scream and throw themselves on the floor and throw a tantrum, whether it be any of them or the media, it just seems to me like Israel's pretty much like, well, suck it.
At the end of the day, it's kind of their problem.
It is.
And they're fucking dealing with it.
Yeah.
And you can't fault them for it.
No.
But at the same time, when we talked about this last time, you know, we kind of made those three scenarios. You know, how did Hamas get in Israel and have that attack? Was it out of incompetence? Was it done intentionally? Israel wanted it to happen.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever get an answer to that question, but
yeah.
They're doing what they're setting out to do, it seems like, no matter what the motive was or how that all went down. But and I'm also not Muslim or Jewish, so I mean, innocent people are dying on both sides of it, and that sucks. But like you said, I respect Israel for just saying, you know what? We're going to handle our shit. We're going to hold it down. We're going to protect our country. And as they should. I mean, out there, they're the only Jewish country in the Middle East, it seems like. I mean, they're out there against all these other Muslim countries, and I'm not saying all these Muslim countries are against them, but
They pretty much are.
Some tolerate them better than others, but you know, they're kind of out there on no man's land. So,
So anyway, that was really all we wanted to bring to light was I feel like the media has just used this as another opportunity to try to divide everybody, because every time somebody has an opinion one way or another, they want to stoke it because that's what they do.
And I think there's creators out there, you know, that have gone on social media and they do the same shit with the black square, I mean, or the Ukraine flag, whatever. They're just going off of what is hot and trendy right now.
Yeah.
And they want an emotion. They want an emotion. Yep. Get the eyes, get the emotional connection.
Yep.
And war is an emotional subject. Yes, it's an emotional subject. So you can can play with people's heartstrings a little bit. So
We'll leave it
at that, I guess.
As we wrap up another harvest season, it's time to start looking ahead to the next growing season and consider any new equipment upgrades that are needed. The Propane Education and Research Council knows the bottom line is, well, the bottom line. So, to help offset the cost of new propane equipment, PERC offers a propane farm incentive program. Now, through the end of the year, farmers can save up to $5,000 towards the purchase of qualifying propane equipment, including irrigation engines, power generators, agriculture building and water heating systems, and flame weed systems. The simple application is available online at propane.com/farm incentive. Now, let's get back to it.
All right, next up, China. What do you got on that?
Yeah, so this week, as we speak, the head honcho of the CCP, Xing, is it nine? XI. What do you want to call him?
I don't know. We should know
G.
It.
G. Yeah, I think it's G.
I don't know.
I call him number 9. Anyway, he's in San Francisco, and the city of San Francisco is hosting APEX, which is the Asian Partnership Economic Cooperative. What is that?
Corporation.
Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation.
Cooperation.
Big deal. A lot of big business people and heads of state from around Southeast Asia are all in San Francisco, which I don't give a shit about it. It's no big deal to me. The only reason I wanted to highlight it is, one, you should have seen all of the Chinese flags that they rolled out on the motorcade route of number 9 coming to town.
And for any of you that don't know who number 9 is, he's the leader of China. I mean, he's the dictator of China. Let's just be real.
Of the CCP, yeah. The communist, the Chinese Communist Party.
Yep.
They run the show.
He's a dictator, essentially.
But yeah, I mean, you'd think he was rolling through Tiananmen Square. I mean, I couldn't believe that when I saw the video, I was like, oh, well, that must be stock footage. And then I read it and I was like, holy shit. I didn't know there was that many Chinese flags floating around, and whether they imported them or whatever.
They got them all out of Gavin's house.
Well, yeah. So there's a great photo of when he got here for some random reason. They had Janet Yellen, the chairman of the Fed. She met him at the airport, and Gavin Newsom and his wife were standing behind her, and it's a great picture because they're just drooling all over themselves, because I'm pretty sure that Gavin probably pleasures himself to a picture of, of old number 9, because there's nothing he'd like better.
I don't know. I don't know him. I've never met him, but what his policies have shown, California is in a state of hell. And
Little China,
yeah.
I think that's an old Kurt Russell movie, Big Trouble in Little China. Holy shit. I'm sure somebody's already done this, put Gavin Newsom's, superimpose Gavin Newsom's photo on Kurt Russell's character in Big Trouble in Little China and made Little China California, because that's it.
That is it.
He has made Big Trouble in Little China. However, I really have gotten all over the place. What really got me fired up about this was last weekend, the city of San Francisco didn't say boo to anybody. They just went downtown and started cleaning out all the homeless. Like, there are no homeless downtown San Francisco. They power wash the streets, the sidewalks, the windows, got their graffiti out.
New asphalt.
Yeah. They've been paving the streets downtown 24/7 for the last 14 days, getting ready for this. Basically, it's like when we have company at my house. I always tell people the goal of any good wife is to make your home look like nobody lives there. Because, you know, it's like when you got company coming, we got to clean the ceiling fan. We got to clean on top of the cabinets. We got to clean under the bed. You got to clean like...
No crumbs.
No, the goal is to make it look like nobody lives here. And I think that's what San Francisco wanted. And the thing I can't figure out is I don't know what they did with all the homeless. But they're all gone. And somebody asked
Biden. No needles. You don't want any needles.
No needles.
No
That's
needles.
Dangerous.
Yep.
But somebody asked Biden if he was embarrassed because this is what they had to do to make it look good to the rest of the world. And of course, he didn't answer it. But I mean, I don't know what you want to say. It's just a shitty, it's a perfect example of everything that's wrong with California, because they say it's all fine. It's all fine. San Francisco is all fine. All our policies are working great. The problem isn't with us. It's this. It's that. We don't have enough funding. But then push come to shove, oh, we got to clean this shit up. We got to make it look like something that it's not, because we're fucking embarrassed that what we're doing here is a unmitigated disaster. But we're not going to show the rest of the world that. And the thing is, if you are any of these people from anywhere in the world that are in San Francisco and you have social media, guess what you're seeing? You're seeing all the people that are regular residents walking around showing pictures of this street or that street. Like, We like to do a thing on here called this or that. There's all kinds of examples all over the internet of before, after, and it's all these streets of what they looked like 15 days ago and what they look like now.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing.
The other thing I think, thing it tells me is it's just another example of putting elite people first and not the American people first. Like,
yep.
It takes an elite communist world leader to come to town for you to clean up shit as fast as you cleaned up shit. When,
yeah.
If we just passed policies and did the right things, and like it showed me two things: that putting elites first again over the American people, and secondly, wow, if we actually like could get anything passed, and like we could have our streets cleaned up. Like the idea that we can't get this shit cleaned up,
yeah,
is bullshit.
No,
the proof is right there. The evidence is right there. Well, they can get it cleaned up in like that. Snap of a finger.
There was some reporter did, you know, man on the street. They asked this guy, and he said, "I've lived here my whole life." He goes, "I just don't understand. Where did all this money come from? Because we haven't been able to do anything about it. Our hands have been tied. We haven't been able to do anything about it. And then in a matter of 10 days, we cleaned up everything." He's like, "Why don't we do that for our citizens?"
Exactly.
I'm thinking you're spot on.
And let's be honest, San Francisco isn't the only city that needs that. I mean, there's plenty of cities out there that needs that. But those are kind of the two things that showed me. And I mean, yeah, it pisses me off because just another example of American people not being put first, and another example of elites being put above the American people. And you know, it's also concerning because it just, why, yeah, Gavin, what are you doing, dude? What do you think that shows people? Like, it shows people that you're not just an old school Democrat. You're a social, I mean, you kind of have some social
if you ask
ideologies.
Gavin,
there's already been that kind of above his head that, okay, he's kind of a socialist, kind of a communist, the way he thinks.
He's far left.
He's extremely far left. And then this just doesn't help his case when he's trying to maybe run for president, and he's going to try to... I think he's going to try to run for president.
Yeah.
And he's going to come to try to act like he's more middle ground than he actually is.
Yep.
So that he can try to get elected. But at the end of the day, you're not fooling me, buddy. You're not fooling me. I think you're a complete socialist, complete leftist, complete almost communist.
Yep.
So, that's where I kind of stand. And I also want to just say a little disclaimer to, I feel like we bag on California a lot. A lot of people bag on California because of what has happened over the last few years. It has turned into a shit show. But not everywhere in California is a shit show.
Northern California?
I just want to say, if you're from California, and because, you know, agriculture is very, very strong.
Number one agriculture state in the United States.
They do their thing in California. So I just want to say, if you're listening and you're from California, we know you're not the problem. I mean, if you're more than likely, if you're listening to this podcast in California, you're probably not in San Francisco. You're not in L.A. You're probably not from San Diego.
Let's just say you probably, if you're listening to us, you probably didn't vote for Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, and you're probably in a good place in California.
Right.
That's doing the right shit. I'm not saying you're the problem. What we're saying is probably what you agree with because you've seen it firsthand.
California's problem comes from poor leadership over many years. That's what it is. They voted in a group of people, and they've continued to vote for them that make poor decisions, not for the betterment of the people, but betterment of the elites running the state.
Yep, I agree. All right, moving on. We're kind of flying through here.
That's all right.
You better pick a whiskey because we haven't done a whiskey minute in a while.
Well, I've got one right here.
Oh, you do? Well, yep. We better do that sometime.
All right, we'll do one. I'll grab one at some point.
Okay. All right. We're moving on. And this is where it gets a little... We don't talk about tech all too much. I feel like we did in the beginning. But we got an update here on AI, and you guys might have seen it. There's a new tool that came out called the AI Pen by Humane AI, and it's pretty much a wearable AI assistant, kind of like Jarvis in Iron Man.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
It basically looks like it to me, it looks like the size of an iPod case.
Looks like, yeah, it kind of looks like an iPod. Like not the old school iPod, but like the...
Or no, I'm sorry. No, like it looks like the case for your AirPods.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about the size of it, yeah.
It might be a hair. I think it literally is about that thickness. I think it might be a hair taller. But it's pretty close to like the charging case for a set of AirPods.
I think they did a pretty good job on the design of it. And if you haven't seen it, it's on Twitter. It's all over Twitter. If you just look up AI pin, hell, you can probably look it up on any social media platform and check it out. But they did a 10-minute video releasing the product that they've been working on for years. And their startup, Humane, is their kind of their deal, is the name of the company. And it has kind of a lot of features that you kind of see on watches and phones that we already have. And that's kind of been the problem that people have been talking about is, you know, there are some new things that it does, which is really cool, which we'll get into. But there are, I don't know if there's enough new features with it to really get people enticed to want to buy it. My thing, if you do go watch the video that they did, I don't feel like they did a phenomenal job in that video just getting to the point of what problem this product is solving. And what I think they wanted people to get from it is it's something that you can use that gets you off your screen.
Yes.
So get off your screens more.
Yep.
And have this thing kind of, because it really uses voice. Yes. You know, you can ask it any question. It also has this projector thing. I don't know. It can essentially project an image onto your hand, and like if you want to change the song, you can change it on your hand and kind of use your hand to
navigate
it. But the other thing that I thought that kind of contradicted it was it has an app on your device that you can kind of monitor it all through. I don't think you have to have it, but
you can set up what gestures do what when you're using that deal with your hand. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like they did a great job explaining that. I think part of the problem, to your point, was I feel like at the beginning they spent quite a bit of time talking about the safety of your data because they wanted to tell you that it's not listening to you. It's only active when you call upon it. And that all of it does not collect any data. And you made a good point about that.
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, yeah, Alexa, Amazon told us that with Alexa, but we've seen instances where that's really not the case, that Alexa's kind of always listening and people are sketched out to have Alexas in their house because of that exact reason. So do I trust, take their word for it? I don't know. If you have a pin, it wears on any of your clothes. So essentially you just put it on any of your clothes and that's kind of where it sits. And the other thing that I didn't think they did a phenomenal job in that video, and I know it's easy to critique them, but like first it takes you probably 5 minutes in the 10-minute video to know what it actually to know what the features actually are. I mean, like they talk about the case, they talk about the actual product itself with the battery and the design of it and the colors that you can get it in. But when it comes to like the product and the features of it, it takes forever to actually get into it. Anyway, I think it's still pretty fascinating. It's an insane way to kind of bring AI into everyday life, which I thought was something that is coming down the pipe and this company's kind of the first to hop on it. Dad had a good point, you know. Is Apple already working on something like this? Is Google already working on something like this? And if they do come out with something like this, is it going to be better than what Humane's came out with? Your favorite feature is what?
Yeah. So one thing that I thought was really neat, and if I was, we talk all the time about shortage of labor in ag and the use, especially in animal agriculture, of a lot of
foreign workers,
TN visa workers. So at one point in the video, he calls one of his colleagues. So he tells it to call this guy and it calls him. And then he wasn't wearing headphones. He wasn't wearing like AirPods or anything like that. But everything he did, you could just do it through your AirPods. And so he called him and told him to come in there, and this colleague of his came in and he asked him a question. The guy obviously was spoke to him in Spanish. Well, when he spoke to him in Spanish,
the pin
knew, recognized that was Spanish, and then it automatically translated that to English
and spoke it out loud.
But if he was wearing AirPods, it would have just spoke it directly to his AirPods. Then he said his reply
in English,
and the pin translated it and spoke it to the guy in Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay. If I was managing a group of TN Visa workers, how valuable would that be?
That was a really cool feature that I thought that was pretty cool.
There were
some things. See, like that was a new feature that I don't think your watch can. I mean, no. They do have Google Translate, and people use that when working with foreign labor and stuff like that to help with the communication barrier. But you can only do so much of that,
right? And how smooth it was. It really was flawless.
It didn't talk in the Siri voice.
Yeah,
it was like really clear and
communicative.
Yeah. The other feature that I thought was kind of cool, but I don't really believe if it's spot on, is they said that they're trying to put nutrition first and making people health conscious. And he picked up these almonds and he held these in his hands and it scanned the almonds, and he had his protein goal set inside of his app or whatever of the Humane AI pin. And he said, how much protein's in this almonds in my hand. And it scanned it and it said about 14 grams of protein in those almonds. And then he asked, what's my protein goal for the day? And it was like, whatever. It said, you have 139 grams of protein left for hit your protein goal.
Yeah.
And I don't know how accurate that actually is. I saw a reply under that and it showed, show me how many almonds is like 15 grams of protein. And it was way more almonds than he had in his hand. So I was like, I don't know. That's very cool. That impressed me. But as I saw it and thought about it a little bit more, how accurate can that actually be?
I think it's one of those things, though, that obviously
it can get better.
It'll get better over time. So when we were writing this up, one of my replies or one of my questions I had was, do you buy this or do you wait? Like, I would be interested in it just because the geek in me likes it. I like shit like that. What's the price point on it?
So it's $699 first time, then a $24 a month wireless subscription. Yeah. So they got to get you.
Yeah,
they got the monthly subscription thing figured out. They know they got to get them profits monthly.
So you might ask yourself, if you were somebody and you thought you could use that, I don't think that's too bad of a price point. Like, if I'm just thinking, if just for the voice part, if I worked with people using different languages a lot, to me, that's pretty reasonable. Like, I feel like I could use that. So what would hold me back is the thought that somebody like Apple or Google is going to come out with something that's their own, that's better. But then I got to thinking, these guys aren't, I didn't dig in to see who all has money in the company, and maybe nobody else does. So if they don't have, like, if they don't have money from, especially Microsoft or Google or somebody like that, maybe your data is safer with them than it is with Apple or Google.
I saw a comment, a tweet that said all the company, and granted, you got to take these comments with a grain of salt, but a guy said that the companies that are invested in this company, I wouldn't give my data to them at all.
Right.
So I don't know. That is a concern. And that's the thing at the end of the day with AI that is, like, we've talked about it on this show before, how it's coming, and I feel like you have to get on the train somewhat to stay relevant or get ran over. But at the same time, how much do you accept? How much as humans, how much do we accept and just keep pushing the envelope with AI before it gets severely dangerous?
How much of your personal information are you willing to surrender? And let's face it, if you listen to some of the people out there, there's plenty of people that would say it's pointless that all of your information has already been surrendered.
Yeah.
Like, there's guys, that podcast that you've talked about, that you start listening to,
Sean Ryan show.
Sean Ryan show. There's some guys that have been on his that basically will say that have worked in the CIA and the intelligence service that say, we already got it all. Like, there isn't any phone call that we can't listen to. There isn't any internet search that we can't find. There isn't any video that you viewed that we can't see that you viewed. If you listen to them,
it'll make your toes curl a little
bit. You'll be like, well,
because we're all fucked up.
Yeah. Well, so what? Basically,
I mean,
at the end of the day,
we're all flawed, and we've all done, you know,
whatever.
We're not proud of something,
right? But what I'm saying is, the argument about personal information, that may all be moot because your personal information may be all, it may be compromised already.
Yeah.
So the idea that AI is going to take it, it may not matter.
Not really that for me that concerns me. It's just, I feel like we're already kind of, a lot of people are already slaves to devices already.
Yeah.
And it's just like, do we want to know? I do like the idea, and this is what I think they should have sold the video more on, is get away from the screens, because I think people do really get addicted to these screens. Mm-hmm. And with this, I don't feel like it demands your attention all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You only really use it when you need it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of bettering your life in a sense, I guess. I don't think it's necessarily a need, but that's the thing. Like, as this AI shit gets going, there's going to be tools that come out that just make your life easier and more effective as a human being.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, wow, that's a huge advantage. But then is it morally, are you like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to accept AI.
Yep.
I don't want to be Iron Man with Jarvis, where I'm walking around my house and I'm fucking wearing a suit that she's all hooked up to, and I can talk to her wherever I want. She can do anything I want.
Well, I had an interesting thought about that after I viewed it. I forgot about it, and I just remembered it. So, and I am very guilty of this already. Like, my phone, I catch myself sometimes, like, I almost use my phone as an extension of my personal thinking. So, there are times that instead of me just sitting and figuring out an answer because I know how to do it, I'll quick Google it because it's easier than me just racking my brain. I'll give you a perfect example. So we were getting ready to pump manure, and I was figuring out how many gallons of manure I have in my pits. So the way that works is cubic feet times 7.481 is the number. And I can never quite remember if it's 7.4 or 7.6 or whatever. But anyway, I measured the depth of the manure in all four of my pits in inches, converted that to feet, then times length times width gives you your cubic feet. And I was sitting there and I was trying to think what that number was, because I haven't thought about it since last year. And I thought about it for just a split second, and then I just went to my watch and I said, Google cubic feet to gallons. Popped up just like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have sat there long enough, I would have thought, well, maybe not, but I think I would have. But it's just such an instant, like, oh, I know I can get this, so I just did. Okay, my point of that is, as a society, we have become more and more and more reliant on devices to do our thinking for us. And when you go down this road of this AI to where you can just tap or put your hand out or think about it and ask the question, we are going to be smarter than any civilization that's been on this earth that we know of. However,
if we're going to be the dumbest at the same time.
We're going to be the dumbest at the same time because if anything happens to that technology, that it just, something just happened and it went away. Whether that's an EMP or whether that's war, whether that's a solar flare, you name it, whatever it is. If something catastrophic happened that you lost that AI, that all those servers, we are training ourselves
survival of the fittest
to just be dumb.
Yeah.
Because all that knowledge that you used to have to carry in your noggin, we just are gradually forgetting it because it's easier to just go get it.
Yep.
It's just easier to go
and
get
it. And I think everybody's guilty of it. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be AI. AI is just the new thing that allows you to do even more with technology to an even bigger extent than that. But yeah, we're all guilty of that, you know? And it's like you got to fight that battle of using a tool that's very easy and accessible for you. And I think that's part of human nature. You want to do what's easy. You know, your body wants you to do what's comfortable. That's the easiest for you. That's how we're wired. That's how we're created. And so you kind of do that. But yeah, it's definitely scary to think if. And I think the other thing that's scary about it is kids and just everybody, less imagination, less creativity. I mean, just think about it. Like, I just saw a video of a woman that nannied for a bunch of tablet kids. And, you know, this new generation that's got the tablets and the phones in their face all the time. And they're just little monsters. And they have no creativity. They have no imagination. They have no desire to color. They have no desire to, you know, come up with new games. Or they just don't have it because they never have to develop it because their entertainment and their imagination's all done for them and they can just watch or play or whatever on anything. And it's just, yeah, it's worrisome. My last thing that I would say that concerns me about the AI pin, and, you know, this is kind of talked about, I think, having your phone in your pocket, having this device that's hooked up to the cellular, you know, whatever, data, whatever, this
5G.
5G, this electrical device that's always in your pocket. Baking your nuts, you know? Yeah, I mean, all that shit, you know? There's people that say it, you know, that there could be some health concerns with that.
Yep.
And I don't know if we have, it's one of those things that's so new that I don't know if we're going to see it till very later, or we may never see it. I don't know. But wearing a device on your chest, close to your heart, I saw that was a concern for people too. I don't know if I want to wear a pin that's closest to probably the most important thing in my body.
Yeah.
Every day.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate every single one of you guys. Let's keep this ball rolling. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Follow us on YouTube. Pay the fee. Share it out with who you know. It all helps, guys. We appreciate every single one of you. We love you. Now, let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, so we've moved past. I remember it only a few years ago. Well, shit, maybe it's been 10 years ago now. But, now, cell phones, there was a lot of talk. People were worried about people getting brain tumors because they had their phone to their ear all the time.
Yeah.
But now, none of us really do. Like, I think about the time that I actually have my phone to my ear in a day. Not very much, because I'm either talking hands-free in my car, or I'm talking through my watch, or I've just got it laying on the table talking to speaker. About the only time that I have my phone to my ear is if I'm in the tractor or in the hog building where it's loud enough.
Yeah,
I don't have my
way.
AirPods in.
I'm the same way.
But so now you're right. The thing is, if you start wearing it, you're back to the same thing. I don't know. And we're not going to know. By the time anybody figures out that there's a problem, it's going to be way too late, because you're going to have the entire population's going to be doing it.
Yeah, I always think about another thing. This is kind of off topic, but I always think about the new AirPods. It's kind of a new tech product. And I got to say, Apple did kill it with the AirPods. That was probably the best new product they've came out with in a long time. Yeah. But I feel like I'm going to have hearing problems. Like, I always think about that when I'm in the hog barn. I'm listening to music while I'm choring or podcasts.
Yeah.
And I just think, how many young people have these AirPods in like I do a lot and are always blasting something? I'm not blasting it, but it's like, I think there's going to be an epidemic of people with hearing loss because of these damn AirPods.
When you get to the retirement home, everybody's going to know sign language.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be deaf.
Yep.
The retirement homes are going to be silent, except for everybody going, what?
Yeah.
Huh?
They're going to have an AI robot that it's not going to care if you hear it or not.
Probably.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to the nursing home, because I think by then it'll be VR and I'll just play video games all day.
You'll be still playing with the boys. Classic Fortnite.
Yeah. Oh fuck! I never got on the Fortnite train.
How many more Halo maps can they come up with?
I don't know.
Halo's
falling off.
The new Halo
Infinite. Yeah. I grew up playing the shit out of Halo 3 with my brother. And if you ever played video games and you got to live through that time of video games, that was the greatest fucking game on planet Earth ever done to this day. Because gaming, I just can't really get back into it. It for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just because you're a child and it's also new, but I just feel like gaming back then was so much better than it is now. The community, everything was so new. The shit talking was so much better. Shit talking was so awesome. And it just was that game, for whatever reason, I think it was a mix of just Xbox being new and Xbox Live just coming out. And that game was so good anyway. And everybody just played that game. And it was the best.
And you actually had to get through. These games now, like...
You can buy your way through.
You can buy your way through. You couldn't
do that. That's the other thing.
You had to actually get good enough, or you had to have people that were... Like, for me, I played with my boys, and they just helped. I was dead weight. Yeah. I was dead weight. But they would just drag me through...
The campaign.
But you actually had to be good to get through it. Well, and now you don't have to.
The multiplayer, like, you had to earn your rank.
Yeah.
If you could win, like, 5 games in a row, stay at the same rank, but if you lost 2 games in a row, you'd go down a rank.
Yeah.
They would demote you if you lost.
They don't do that.
No. Hell no. They want you to buy your way through, buy DLC. Yeah, that's the problem. The problem with gaming today is it's all about money grab. And the quality of the games, they release games before they're finished, and they want you to buy new shit as it goes along, and they don't put out finished products anymore. And it's like everything. You can't shit talk the way you used to, and it's all about everybody's feelings, and they're never going to demote anybody. So they just, it's bullshit.
So real quick, this is one of my favorite. I didn't even know that my kids were doing this, but Sawyer and his friends, they would stay up. They'd stay up like all night playing Halo, but what they like to do is they stay up until kids from the other side of the world would be playing.
Yeah.
And they would go into these loadouts, and you couldn't understand a damn thing they were saying because they were from Vietnam, or they were from Japan, or they were from China.
Yeah.
And then you guys would be trash talking.
They'd be trash talking us in Chinese or Japanese or Vietnamese. It was awesome. Hell yeah.
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, shout out to my brother Clay. He put me... Clay was... He's 5 years older than me, and I'm just glad that he allowed me to play video games with him at that time, because I think I lived peak gaming with my brother earlier.
Yeah. Because you always wanted to do whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
So you never played with the stuff that was like age appropriate for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a nice thing. So I'm glad. And my buddy Kale will say the same thing. He's like, that was the best fucking time to ever play video games, because it was just the best. It was just the best. It was, because he would come over and play with us too. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that. Kind of went down a tangent there.
No, that's good. That's good stuff.
We have our last little topic here is about Thanksgiving, and that's kind of going to wrap it up on the other three. I don't know. Would you buy the AI pen, I guess? We should maybe just say that.
I feel like... I think I would. Like, I just got an Apple Watch not very long ago.
That's my other thing. Like, does it really do more than the Apple? Does it do so much more than the Apple Watch does?
Yeah. I'm not saying I probably will not go buy one. If I was still working in the production side of the hog business, I think I would have one.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing I would love better than to go into a sow unit and have that and not have anybody know that I had it. Because I know they're all talking smack about me. I know the short jokes are flying. I know they are. Anyway, I would. But, yeah, I don't know if it's enough yet. And that's the other thing is I guess I'm a little curious whether that's such a huge market if you can differentiate yourself and add some value that I feel like everybody else is probably right there. And
yeah.
I guess I just kind of want to see what happens.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I'm personally, I like some of its features, but I don't think I'm sold yet. With all the concerns we talked about, I'm not sold yet, and I don't really want to sign up to be the first adopter of it. So we'll see where it all plays out. But all right, on to Thanksgiving. So what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for this damn podcast. I was going to say this when you started. You know, you said like the show, share the show, and please do that. We appreciate the shit out of it. And we appreciate every one of you that listen to us every week. But, you know, we loaded out wiener pigs this morning.
Feeder pigs.
Oh, yeah. We loaded out feeder pigs. That's right. I got wiener pigs in Monday. And I love what I do. I love being able to farm. I love raising pigs. There isn't anything I'd rather do. But there's nothing that I enjoy more than doing the podcast, but more importantly, the community. We don't really talk about that enough, but the community of people that you meet, the comments you get, and just the random people that you run into that, you know, listen to the show. And when you see them in public, like, we get a lot of people that listen. Obviously, more people listen to the show than watch it. A lot of people watch the clips, but you'll run into somebody, and especially for me, because I guess my voice is unique.
It's Tony Stewart. Everybody says you have a Tony Stewart voice.
Me and Tony Stewart.
And I get told I look like Joe Burrow, but I really don't buy that. I don't know why people say that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or I just get called autistic. I don't know. Because I can't. Yes. Sometimes I screw up my words.
Yeah. But when you run into somebody and I'm somewhere and I'm talking, and somebody walks by, and then they stop and they look, and then they come back and they say, "Are you that guy from, you know, Barn Talk?" That's pretty cool. But what's really neat is just the people that we've met. And there's a lot of you we haven't met. Hopefully someday we'll have a Barn Talk meetup if we can ever get this barn all fixed up. But just a great group of people, and it's just, you know, we're all in the same boat. I mean, we're all just trying to get through life, and we're all trying to figure out all the crap that's going on around us. And, you know, we've been doing this now for a little while, but it never gets old. And I can't picture myself loading out pigs for the rest of my life, but I could picture myself shooting this podcast for a long damn time, because I really enjoy it. And yeah. I enjoy all of you, and I thank you all for listening. And so, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for every single one of you that give us a chance, well, to just listen to us, because you don't have to listen to us. And, yeah, I mean, we're full of shit sometimes, but
yeah,
we all are.
I would second that. I think you hit it on the head there. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for, no doubt. But, yeah, this is something that I love. I love that we're able to – we've made this platform, and you guys enjoy it. But it's also sustainable, long. Like, when we were thinking out how we wanted to do this, what I love about it is it's on our farm, and we can fit it into our week, and it's for the long term.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Dad and I don't – we've said it many times. Like, we don't plan on stopping this thing, because we've made it so just part of our schedule, and it's a commitment. Once a day – or once a week, we're going to come down, we're going to shoot this podcast, and we're going to fit it in the schedule, and we just make it work. And
And we're not beholden to anybody.
And we're not beholden to anybody.
Say, oh, right.
Yeah, you better stop shooting the podcast or don't put
don't
that
talk
episode.
About that.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about it. So, yeah, we really do appreciate every single one of you guys. And no matter if you're watching the clips, no matter if you're watching the YouTube, no matter if you're listening to us, whatever it is, we appreciate all the support. And don't ever be a stranger to come up to one of us. I like to tell myself I think I have a resting bitch face because everybody comes up to Torque and always asks, you know, always talks to you in public. But I don't know. Maybe I just have a resting bitch face. But I'm not going to buy it, I promise, if you come up and talk to us. Just feel free to come up and talk to us. Tell us you listen to the show and we can shoot the shit. So we appreciate you guys.
Traditions. What's your favorite
Thanksgiving tradition? Cowboys are always playing. I always love watching my Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. It's one of the best reasons to be America's team because you always get the prime. Be a fan of America's team because you always get the primetime games, especially Thanksgiving. So I always like that, and I always love having handballs.
Yep,
Dad makes the best. Torque's balls are the best. He makes the best fucking handballs on the planet. So yep. I do love having those every once in a while. And you can't eat them all the time, but Thanksgiving, when that comes around, mom's mashed potatoes, those are always freaking-tastic.
We're going to fry a turkey this year.
Yep.
So that'll be...
That could be the death of us, but...
We're trying to find a wooden deck outside of a mobile home somewhere that we can bring it to.
I thought we were just going to do it up here.
No.
If we want to play with fire and really risk it to get the biscuit, I mean... No. We can make the best turkey right here.
Not going to happen. Yeah. There's far too much wood.
I heard the best way to fry turkey, 3 rules. You have to have the proper amount of oil. Not too much, not too little. You got to do it outside. Do not do it in your frickin' garage like an idiot.
Yep.
And dip that bitch in there slowly.
There you go.
Dunk that turkey in there nice and slow. Don't do it too fast because that's when shit goes south.
All right.
So
we
if we stick
that.
To those rules... I think we'll have a damn good turkey.
We'll be fine. We'll be
last.
Fine.
Are you spending money this year on gifts? I wanted to say something. I haven't talked to you yet. I don't know. Do you want to do gifts this year
for Christmas?
For Christmas? I don't know.
Every year, your mother says this year we're not doing gifts. We're just gonna write down.
It's tough times, man. I don't know if I got the money to do it this year. And I don't. Hell, I don't need.
We
anything.
Don't need anything.
I don't need anything besides need company. Anything.
All right, well, good enough. We ain't getting you shit then.
You can get me coal.
Not getting anything.
I've gotten coal every year, so.
I know.
How confident are you in your personal finances and your companies and our country?
I was just thinking about that. This is a good one to leave in the comments or send us. We're thinking about a Q&A. You know, it's funny because usually when you interview people about the state of the economy, people will say they don't think the economy is doing very well. And then they ask them about their neighbors and they'll say, well, I don't think my neighbors are doing very well. But then you ask them about themselves and they go, well, we're getting by.
Everything's good. Everything's just good.
Yeah, it's everything's good. Okay.
Everything's great.
But, you know, when you turn around, everything is so damn expensive, and I just wonder the country over what the sentiment is. I mean, 2024 is an election year, and I feel like it's going to be a vote on kind of this drawn-out bullshit that we've had, and it isn't going to end because look at what our choices are, and I don't know if we've got good choices for who's going to lead this country or not, but like... I'm just curious personally what everybody's thinking as far as how they feel about their own little chunk of America or wherever you're listening from and how they think their, you know, their town or their state's doing and what your opinion is of our country and how long are we going to be able to keep this ship going in the direction that it is.
Yeah, so let us know. Let us know on Spotify if you're listening. We have a Q&A for each episode. Let us know on there. Let us know on YouTube comments. Email us, whatever. We love hearing from you guys and love hearing what you guys think. So, yeah, let us know what kind of how you feel about your little place in America. I think that's a good top off.
And the last thing is, it is, we are in the second week of November.
Mm-hmm.
The year is about gone. Have you got everything done that you wanted to get done this year? And you're not out of time. You're not out of time.
Best time to start is today.
The time is growing thin. So get after it. And
get them goals.
Get that shit done.
Best time to start is today. That's right.
I probably got some shit I need to go start right now, actually.
Yep, that's right. We all do.
But before I start it, there's always time for a whiskey minute. So
I'm going to just let you guys know, I'm going to sit this one out because this is something that I don't talk about a lot, but I have this weird autoimmune thing that's called reactive arthritis, and it's kind of like temporary arthritis. Anytime I get food poisoning or some, I don't know, illness that really rocks me, my immune system overreacts and it attacks my joints and inflames the shit out of them. And I just got food poisoning probably 2 months ago, and I got all over it, and then my joints got inflamed again. And so every time I drink alcohol when I'm in this state, I just get super, super, super inflamed and in a lot of joint pain. So I've been really limited in my drinking, and that's why we've probably not done a lot of whiskey minutes, although we know you guys love them. So I'm going to sit this one out, and until I feel like my arthritis is back to normal and I feel good again and I don't have so much joint pain, I'll do some more whiskey minutes. But I'll leave it up to Dad for now. So what do you got on the shelf here today?
Well, I'm going to try to get the top off of it because I wasn't very prepared. So you know when you go, you get a glass off the shelf and you know you haven't used it in a while and you give it a little... And there's never anything in it. Just makes you feel better. I did that, and there was two box elder bugs in this glass because it's up here in the barn, and one of them went up my nose. So we almost had a catastrophe just from that. But
it's good for you.
We got it.
It's good for you.
So what I've got is Heaven Hill Bottle and Bond, and this is 7-year-old whiskey, and it's from I think it's from the Heaven Hill Distillery, Louisville, Kentucky. I don't think this is a real special bottle. And I've talked about this before, but I feel like Iowa is kind of like a whiskey desert. Around me, I don't really go bourbon hunting, but if I'm in, so my wife and I were in Des Moines, Iowa. This week we went up there and we celebrated our anniversary. We had some stuff we had to do and we went up there and it was a real good weekend. And I went to a couple liquor stores up there just killing time. And I thought, you know, my little town, our liquor store is not, I don't feel like it's good or bad. It just is what it is. But you don't rarely find anything, always has the same stuff, rarely has anything really different. And I thought, well, going there, you know, I'm going to go in one of these stores and they're going to have, you know, they're going to have some Weller. I was like, oh, maybe I'll be one of these guys and walk in and they're going to have a Willett Purple Top sitting in here for retail price, which, you know, that ain't going to happen. But anyway, you know, just something like that. And I went in and there really wasn't anything that I found that blew my socks off at all. But I came home and I was in our local liquor store actually getting a 6-pack of Dos Equis.
And look at you.
Yeah, look at me. Yeah, I kind of like the Dos Equis.
Okay.
Green label. I'm kind of a green label Dos Equis guy.
You are the most interesting man in the world.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I was drawn to it.
Yep.
Anyway, found this bottle of Heaven Hill, and that's something they typically don't have. And I was like, well, shit, I'm going to get a bottle of that. So I did, and I'm going to try it. I haven't even tried it. So
pour yourself up one, bartender.
Had a nice pop on that. Didn't do a very good job of letting you hear that. You know, you listen to these bourbon TikTok guys, and they're big on the cork pop, and then they smell it, sniff it, roll it around. And I'm not very refined.
Put it on their hand and rub it.
Yeah,
places.
Right. I'm taking a very short pour, I think. I'm going to try not to put myself asleep, but...
How's that smell?
It smells all right. I think it's going to be... I don't know what the proof is on it. Oh, it's 100 proof, so it's not... Shouldn't have
how
too much...
How long is it aged?
7 years.
Okay.
7 year. That's pretty good. I'll say that. It's not, it doesn't have much bite, doesn't have much burn. But it's kind of dry. I'd say it's not like, so on my scale, you know, some whiskey sweet, some is really dry, some has burn on the front, burn on the back, whatever. I'm not very refined. I just kind of like what I like. I'd say that's kind of middle of the road. I would sit down and have that, I guess.
Would you mix it with something or could you drink it straight?
I could drink that straight. Yeah, with I could drink ice that cube. Straight. Yep.
So out of 10.
Out of 10, I would say that's probably...
And you can use decimals.
Oh, I'd say, okay, I'll give you a decimal. I'd say that's like a 7.5.
Yeah. Pretty... I'd say it's a good whiskey then.
Yeah, I'd say it's good.
It's good.
Yeah,
for me. It's not great.
But it's so... No, it's not great because it doesn't have a lot of flavor. It doesn't have a lot of flavor... And I like whiskey that's sweeter, like Four Roses. That's what I was going to say. So to me, like a really flavorful whiskey that I like, but it's sweet, somebody else would not like it because they don't like a sweet.
They like a dry.
They like it drier. So I like Four Roses. Yeah. There isn't anything I think I've had of Four Roses that's not good. And I'll drink Four Roses straight. I'll make an old fashioned with it. I'll mix it with Coke if I want to. It's just a good all around. I like Maker's Mark. I like Knob Creek. Some of them. Some of them I like. Some of them I don't. Elijah Craig.
Blanton's.
Well, yeah, Blanton's. But you know, I feel like Blanton's is kind of overhyped. It's really good, but I think there's whiskeys out there that are as smooth as it is. Yeah, so I could sit here and ramble them off for a long time. But anyway, Heaven Hill, that's your whiskey like 3.5 minutes today. And I'd say it's a 7.5 and let the haters come and tell me why it's trash or tell me why it should be better. But it's definitely, I'd have it again and it's good stuff.
Well, good.
It's better than that Bushnell's Prohibition
Peaky Blinders
edition.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You could strip furniture with that shit.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. So that stuff wasn't good.
Anyway.
All right. Well,
thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. I know we haven't done one of those in a while, and I hope we gave you a good explanation on as to why, but we love doing those. Dad loves doing it too, and so we'll keep her up. We'll do more of that. Send in your whiskey recommendations for us to try, and we'll feature them on the show. But that's gonna wrap it up for us here today, folks. So if you got any value from the show, make sure to share it out, leave a review, pay the fee, submit your proof of your review to barntalkshow@gmail.com to be entered in the raffle. Submit your questions at barntalkshow@gmail.com so we can answer them on the show. And we'll see you back here next week for another episode, guys. We love you. Peace.